WRKC is proud to present a new weekly drama, The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King's students. We now present our 8th episode, The Cult Following.
Will you always love me, baby?
Oh, Jonathan, I'll always love you. For all time.
I shook myself awake to clap along with Carolyn and the rest of the audience. It was always a pleasure to spend some time with Carolyn, but the girl had no taste in movies. I'd let myself get convinced that a week without sun would be more fun than a night at Glenn's.
Oh, Harry, isn't this romantic?
Absolutely, real romantic. In truth, it was another pile of sentimental garbage by the ever-talentless Lydia Dove. Only reason she kept selling movies were a sweet pair of legs and a smile that'd tempt even the most loyal of men.
It's just so wonderful that he gives up his prospects to be with her.
Right, because nothing says romance like unpaid bills.
And everyone's surprised you're not married.
I drove an irate Carolyn to her apartment and made a beeline for Glenn's. Maybe the night wasn't entirely wasted. After a couple of hours, Glenn helped me collapse on a couch in the break room.
Hey, Harry, you okay in here?
I don't wanna.
Look, Harry, I've got the cleaning crew coming in 20 minutes and they're going to need to come back here.
Right. Hey, Glenn? Thanks.
Don't mention it. Can't let my best customer sleep on the street.
With that gentle reminder of the cost of living well in mind, I headed back to my office. I still had a little stack of bills from a deal with an ex-oil baron's widow, but it wasn't going to last forever. That and my gin bottle was getting very light. Deborah?
Harry?
Would you open the door? I left my keys at my apartment.
Sure thing. Let me just... hold on. Would you... under the desk?
Deborah, who are you talking to?
Nobody. Pull your feet in. Oh, hello, Mr. Flynn. You're in early. Really early.
All right, Deborah. Just what the hell is going on?
Nothing, Mr. Flynn. You look tired. Here's the newspaper. Why don't you go sit down while I make you some coffee?
If that's supposed to convince me that nothing's wrong. I started to go into my office when I was interrupted by a muffled voice.
Those may be just the ugliest shoes I've ever seen.
Who's in here, Deborah? Before she could try to worm her way out of it, a weaselly-looking man crawled out from under her desk. Jimmy the Foot Converse. He used to be a small-time crook, but lately he'd been trying to hawk handmade footwear. For the moment, though, he was spitting mad and pointing directly at my shoes.
I meant to tell you, Harry.
Your shoes are awful. Worst I've ever seen. They're a disgrace to footwear.
Jimmy, what are you doing here?
Looking at the most torn up, terribly crafted, poorly laced, sloppy-soled excuses for loafers I've ever laid eyes on.
I meant before I walked in. The two stood rather awkwardly for a moment, while paying extra good attention to the floor in front of them.
Well, Jimmy and I met a little while back when I was going to get some shoes.
She wanted to trade in her loafers for a pair of pumps.
Uh-huh. And you've been meeting here before hours.
Yes, Mr. Flynn.
Look, just go somewhere else for a couple of hours. I'll handle things here.
Thanks, Mr. Flynn.
Yeah, and if you want a pair of quality handmade footwear, you know where to find me.
Don't let the door scuff your heels on the way out. With that, I slumped into my office, pulled the door roughly shut, locked it, and collapsed in my chair. The conversation hadn't lasted long, but I don't think my ears have ever been through so much trauma. I poured myself a drink and started looking at the classifieds to see if there were any secretaries who described themselves as unobtrusive. Not 20 minutes later, my phone rang. Hello, Harry Flynn Detective Agency, this is Harry.
Oh, I'm so glad you're there. I need a detective.
Then you've called the right place. What can I help you with?
I don't want to discuss it over the phone. Can you come to my house at 24 North Fields?
Yeah, sure. But, hey, what's this about?
I think somebody wants to have me dead. I can't talk, though, Mr. Flynn. Just come quickly.
As quick as that, she was off the phone without even giving me a name. I couldn't shake the feeling that I'd heard her voice somewhere. But I'd never had a client from North Fields and had never really expected to. North Fields is an area just outside of town where people dip their filet mignon into caviar bowls made of gold. Their butlers drive fancy cars and make more in a week than I make a year. The place was a 3-story mansion with a field that could fit a football field, a baseball diamond, and still have enough room left over for outdoor weddings. The driveway was a black stretch limousine, and then another car just a step above my own busted up one. I parked and walked up to knock, but before I could manage that, a dignified man in a suit opened the door.
I'm sorry Mrs. Dove isn't taking visitors today, especially not poorly dressed ones.
Miss Dove?
Indeed. Who are you?
Miss Lydia Dove?
No, I don't believe you are. Are you one of the private investigators Miss Dove called? I shall simply have to tell her that she needs to find a less... staffed private eye.
No, I'm Harry Flynn. She just didn't tell me her name when she called. May I come in?
Yes, she's in the smoking room. Just down this hallway, first room on the right. You won't get lost, will you?
I left the pompous doorman and went to find Lydia Dove. Unfortunately, there were no beautiful actresses in the room. A moderately overweight man with a sneer that nearly put me off my lunch was lounging with his feet up on an antique mahogany table, across from a bookish young woman wearing what looked like a man's suit.
I'm just saying, it wouldn't kill you to put on a skirt, right?
I'm not having this discussion with you. Just sit and wait for Miss Dove to get here.
This doesn't make sense, a pretty thing like you.
Is Miss Dove here?
Ah, Mr. Flynn, I presume. Please, come, sit down. Miss Dove will hopefully be here very soon.
The heavy man glared fitfully at me as I sat down in one of the chairs. No more than a minute after I sat down, Miss Lydia Dove burst in. She was even more beautiful in the flesh than on the screen. There was one little detail that could never be captured in film. Bright, vibrant blue eyes that'd make the sky jealous. She traipsed over to a chair and dropped down.
I'm so glad you were both able to come. I need this figured out right away. I fear that someone wishes to see me dead.
Well, Miss Dove, it won't come to that.
Oh, yeah? How are you going to stop him? If someone wants to murder someone, it's very hard to stop him. Very hard indeed.
I could tell already that he was going to be trouble. More likely a con artist trying to take all he could rather than an actual detective. Starting to wonder who he was. Who are you?
Oh, this is Chuck Hanford. He's a private eye, like yourself. And I'm Jane Oliger, Lydia's publicist.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Jane.
And I should make it perfectly clear that I don't believe an investigation like this is necessary. We've notified the police of all we know.
As though the police would ever manage to solve a case.
What seems to be the problem, Miss Dove?
Oh, it's absolutely terrible. They want to kill me.
Who wants to kill you?
Miss Dove has received several threatening letters from a group who are making demands.
You mean like a cult?
A cult? It could be.
More likely just a couple of crazed fans. What kind of demands are these?
They want to give myself up to marry them.
I'm fairly certain that polygamy is illegal, Miss Dove, so I'll just have to make sure that doesn't happen.
Well, it looks like a cult to me. I'm something of an expert on cults. Using my advanced knowledge of the subject, I should, given time, be able to figure out who exactly these people are and stop them.
Do you think these people are a threat?
Absolutely.
And you're asking for time?
In the meantime, Miss Dove may stay in my office. My associates and I'll keep her safe.
I'm sure for double the standard rate.
Harry, please. He's right. I need someplace to stay safely until this is all figured out.
I'll have this figured out before you know it. I'm going to start by checking abandoned churches. Cults love to take them and convert them for their rituals. I'll need half of my payment up front for expenses.
Absolutely. Jane?
Yes, Miss Dove. I'll go get the money right away, as well as the information we have.
The letters? I'm sure I won't need them. This should be an open and shut case soon as I find whoever sent them.
I thought you just said that it was going to be really hard to track them down.
Don't worry, Miss Dove. I'm sure we'll get everything figured out.
Don't you mean I will? I don't hear any theories from you.
That's because I don't feel the need to shout about any thought that pops into my head. I'm already well on my way to solving this case. In truth, I hadn't the faintest idea where to start. Jane Oliger came back with the letters, and I took them back to my office, where I could look them over with the help of a couple of drinks. A paycheck from Miss Lydia Dove would probably be a prize that could keep my bills paid for months, but if there was actually a cult out to get her, there wasn't a whole lot I could do to stop them.
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of the cult following, but first, a word from our sponsors.
Hey, have Ron and Johnny got back from hitting up that bank yet?
They're not gonna make it back, boss. Ron got pinched and is on the way to the slammer.
And Johnny?
On his way to the morgue.
Oh, you can't be serious. Those are the 7th and 8th mooks I've lost this week. How can I keep my crime ring going in this kind of economy?
Well, friend, I've got a solution for you.
Who is this guy? Get this guy out of here.
But I've got the answer to all your mook losing problems.
Who are you representing?
I'm from the Thug Temp Hotline. Are you tired of training men up from nothing and making them into cold, hard criminals only to see them gunned down? Are endless hospital visits and legal fees keeping your costs up? Do you want a solution that doesn't involve emotional connection of any kind?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Well, now there is one. At the Thug Temp Hotline, we take only the best wannabe gangsters and teach them the basic skills they'll need for a competitive crime market. Then we categorize them based upon what they are best at and temp them out to you. If they're hurt or nabbed by the cops, we'll take care of it. You can go right on running your gambling rings even if you've popped your last button, man. But our service isn't just convenient and cheap. We rent out only the best temps.
Hey, I'm a temp who'll be great for any kind of break-in. I'm good with locks and can even squeeze in small places, because last time I got shot, I had him take out a couple of ribs. Bring me on your next museum run and I won't let you down.
I'm real big and I like long walks on the beach and fishes. If you want to be my date, call Love Match now.
Wait, this isn't a dating service. This is for the temp agency.
Oh, in that case, I'm real big and I like breaking necks on the beach and sending people to sleep with the fishes. If you want to be my boss, call the Thug Temp Agency now.
All this crime work isn't just for men. If you want a guard taken care of without making a scene, I can slip in and have a couple of words with him. I've been robbing old men blind by marrying them for years and I still haven't been caught.
Honey, who are you talking to?
Nobody, honey. Go back to sleep.
All of these temps are standing by waiting for their chance to make it in the big time. And if you do find yourself attached to one of them, we make selling their contract quick and easy. Let's see what it would be like if he'd gone with a Thug Temp Hotline.
Hey, have Ron and Johnny got back from hitting up that bank yet?
They're not gonna make it back, boss. Ron got pinched and is on the way to the slammer.
Fine, call up the Thug Temp Hotline and get another crew on it.
I already did. Bob and Jackie got pinched, Tom and Jimmy were pulled over with hot guns, but Todd and Josie got the money back.
I'm so glad I went with the Thug Temp Hotline. It seems like all my troubles are disappearing as quickly as people who skim behind my back.
Boss, you know I'd never. Ha ha, looks like he should have gone with the Thug Temp Hotline for his entire crime organization. We also offer senior and syndicate discounts that will fit your every crime-related need. Just call us at 1-800-GET-THUG. That's 1-800-GET-THUG.
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
Looking through the letters from this supposed cult had turned up very, very little. There were 7 in all, written on different kinds of paper. All of the writing was in blocky handwriting that made it difficult to tell if they were by the same hand or not. The wording was simple enough that anyone could have come up with it. The only letter that really stood out was the most recent. It was in the same block letters, but it was on the back of a signed photograph of Lydia Dove. Also, this was only one of two that had been signed. The Cult of the Dove. Nice name for a bunch of fans of bad movies. Deborah?
Yes, Mr. Flynn?
Do you know why Lydia Dove would be filming a movie here?
Oh yeah, Mr. Flynn. She's got a film coming up about the Colleazione crime family. She's gonna be a mafia princess, and they wanted to do it on location. It's gonna be so romantic.
Call Carolyn for me and tell her I loved A Week Without Sun so much that I'm gonna take her to another Lydia Dove movie set.
Oh, she'll love that. I'll call her right away.
It seemed that me giving Deborah a couple of hours off work had paid off with a moment of surprising pleasantness. That or she wanted to get me out of the office so she could call for another shoeshine. In either case, I headed over to pick up Carolyn at her apartment. Carolyn?
1 minute.
The door opened a couple seconds later, and it was well worth the wait. Carolyn was dressed in a slinky black dress with her hair up in some sort of elaborate style. She was made up and even smelled fantastic. Wow, Carolyn, going somewhere?
I thought I'd dress up. It's not every day you brush shoulders with famous celebrities.
Uh-huh. Looking to get your chance at stardom?
No. Bradford Steele is going to be there. He's playing a big mafia don.
Bradford Steele? Is that the hack from A Week Without Sun?
Yes, the gorgeous hack from A Week Without Sun that you aren't going to embarrass me in front of.
All right, under one condition. If I think for even a moment he could be behind this kidnapping business, I'm socking him.
Kidnapping business? Who's getting kidnapped?
Damn. It's easy to forget when looking at Carolyn that she's a journalist. But that predatory instinct kicks in the moment she hears a story. But there's no sense in lying to Carolyn. Just paranoia. Lydia Dove hired me to...
Lydia Dove? Looks like you're hitting the big time, aren't you? Soon you won't want to be seen around with a poor little newswoman.
Save the theatrics for Steele. Come on, let's get going. We headed over to where they were shooting on location. With a little bit of work, we managed to get in using Carolyn's position as a journalist. A short man in a bad toupee was yelling at the beautiful Lydia Dove and an annoyed-looking Bradford Steele.
Come on! Am I paying you to act or stand around with idiotic looks on your faces? Have you even looked at the script? Out of my sight! Out!
Wow.
There's the glamorous life of an actress for you. Does it still look appealing?
Not as much, no.
Look, you go catch Steele and I'll talk to the director. Carolyn gave me a coy grin and ran off after Steele, while I went to confront the director.
Good, you're finally here. And costumed up, I see. They couldn't get you a better suit. Ah, well, you look the part.
Actually...
You're going to be in the next scene as an angry man who decides to get revenge against the family.
I'm not an actor.
That's okay, neither are any of them.
No, I mean, I'm a private eye. Have you heard anything about kidnapping Lydia Dove?
You want to kidnap her? Take her? She's yours. It takes Steele, too. Just get out of my face.
It seemed highly unlikely to me that the director would want anything more to do with Lydia Dove than he already did. Of course, there were still plenty of other people I could spend a little time talking to. First up, I wanted to check in on Lydia, but it looked like someone had gotten there before me.
So, Lydia, I found the church where the cult is holed up.
Really? How could you tell?
There was a whole wall of signed photos of you. Must have been a group of fans who pooled their signings.
I don't give out that many signatures. How could they have gotten so many?
Hey, Dollface, I'm not a cult leader. I'm just telling you what I saw. But I'm gonna need another increase. I mean, it's hazard pay. A group that big could cause a lot of trouble.
Of course. Just talk to Jane. She'll get you the money right away. Just solve this for me, please.
Chuck strutted away from Lydia like an overstuffed turkey, whistling away at his good fortune. I trailed him away from the shooting to a dark alley, where I grabbed him in a headlock and took him by surprise. Don't move, or you'll get it. I pressed my uncocked gun up against his back.
All right, let's not be hasty. I'll give you my wallet, whatever you want.
I'm not here for your wallet. What are you just talking to Lydia Dove about?
What? She hired me to check out a boyfriend. It was nothing.
Don't lie to me, or I may just need to fire a couple of warning shots into your knees.
No, she hired me to investigate someone threatening to kidnap her. I was just telling her I found a church with some photos.
Where's the church? Come on, buddy, spill.
All right, it's just outside of town, south down Sawmill.
Damn, you found us. Stay away and don't mention this to Miss Dove, or we'll find you, Chuck Hanford.
How do you know my name?
We know a lot of things. Now close your eyes and wait for a count of 20, or I'll shoot. Chuck stood very, very still as I backed away down the alley. Some small part of me hated to work like that, but I also thought Chuck just might deserve it. And anyway, gave me a new lead to follow. But first I had to find Carolyn. I tracked her down and saw her talking with Bradford Steele. Fist clenched in my pockets, I walked over.
Yeah, Lydia and I had an on-and-off-again kind of thing. Guess she just couldn't resist me.
But right now you're single.
Oh, yeah. The way I see it, what's the point of going steady? I mean, I'm a movie star. Who's going to pin me down?
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
So what are you doing later, Legs?
Hey there, Carolyn.
Harry, I didn't think you'd be back so soon.
Who's this you're talking to?
What? Feeling a bit jealous, Gramps?
Oh, right. You were the talentless hack getting shouted at. But I guess you don't mind that too much.
Harry.
See, I'd feel just a little put off having to take orders like that.
What? You calling me less than a man?
I don't know. I'm just saying I'd have stood up for myself.
Hey, you back off.
Or what, Brad? What do you do?
I'll rip you in half.
As he shouted this, he lunged for me. Luckily, I was ready for him. I ducked under his hasty right swing and delivered a kick to the side of his knee. He toppled to the ground with a wail.
Oh, you broke my leg, you psychopath.
Harry, you promised me you wouldn't embarrass me.
What? I'll rip you in half sounds like something a cultist would say. Come on, I've got all I need. We hurried away from the scene of my recent assault, and I brought Carolyn home. Despite what I viewed as a heroic rescue, she demanded that I apologize the whole way there. But that didn't matter, because I'd gotten a real lead. I stopped back at the office to call Officer Spinelli at the police station and pick up a few things. Then I headed over to the church and parked up the street from it. Clearly hadn't been in active use for at least a couple of years. Just standing outside in the dirt parking lot, I could see that there hadn't been more than 5 or 6 cars recently. Besides that, the windows were broken and boarded up, and the paint had chipped almost entirely off. Officer Spinelli showed up a couple of minutes later. Thanks for coming down. I just wanted to have some backup if things go south.
Are you anticipating anything?
Not at all. I heard from a source that this appears to be a hideout for the Cult of the Dove, a group trying to kidnap Lydia Dove.
And you're dragging me in on this alone?
There's no cult. Look at the dirt. 2 sets of fresh footprints. If there was a cult meeting here, wouldn't you think there'd be more?
But whose footprints are they?
I'm thinking that we'll find out tonight. We stepped inside and found the church was as wrecked inside as out. It seemed a real shame, such a beautiful building abandoned like this. Where a bulletin board had once been was now covered with dozens of signed photographs of Lydia Dove, along with newspaper clippings. And here we go.
Hey, Harry, there's a lot of clippings and photos. How would 2 people get their hands on so many of them? They'd have to be gathering them for years.
Would seem that way, wouldn't it? But I'm pretty sure there's something bigger afoot.
Are you going to tell me?
And ruin the surprise?
Damn it, Harry. Damn it, Harry. If I'm going to be helping you on these cases, I need you to be straight with me.
Just wait. Give it time. Here. Care for a smoke? We waited for about 20 minutes before a car stopped outside. Spinelli drew his gun and pointed it at the door ready for a stream of angry cultists. Just as I'd suspected, though, only one person had gotten the invitation. Jane Oliger, dressed in a heavy trench coat, stepped in with a pile of papers under her arm.
Freeze, right there! Hands up!
What? What is the meaning of this?
Well, if nothing else, we've got you on trespassing. Of course, I think you may be guilty of a little more than that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Look, lady, I've been shot before because I underestimated a woman, and I'm not too keen on having that experience again. Get him up now!
Jane dropped her papers and put her hands up. Spinelli quickly moved forward and checked her coat pockets.
Clear. She's unarmed.
Hey, Jane, why don't you come over here and look at this wall with me? What do you see here?
Photos of Lydia. They must have been put up by the cult members.
And where would they have gotten so many, do you think?
Extorting them. They told me to bring that stack of photos over. They'd killed Lydia.
Do they have Lydia?
No, but I've got to protect her. Don't you see?
If cultists were using this as a meeting place, there'd be footprints going in and out. But nobody has used this church for months. Except for 2 people. Chuck Hanford found it, which explains the bigger footprints. Which leaves 1 other person. I'd put money down that person is you.
Why would I do that? This is lunacy.
You're Lydia's publicist, so you want to be sure people are talking about her. So if a story comes out that someone's trying to kidnap her, she'll be in all the papers. And then Chuck came along and started talking about cults. That makes the story even better. Then you came here.
All right. I admit it. I faked the letters. There was never any threatening, or ever any cult. I wrote the last letter while you were in Lydia's house, and added the Cult of the Dove to try to make it fit.
And the photos?
Whenever Lydia does a signing, I get extra copies to pass out for posterity. So I just got them together and put them up last night. I knew Chuck would be looking for it, so I made it nice and easy to find. And once this was found, it'd all be in the papers. Everyone would be talking about Lydia Dove.
Well, everyone will be. They'll be talking about how Lydia Dove's publicist is going to be spending some time behind bars.
But I didn't do anything wrong.
Hands behind your back. Jane Oliger, you're under arrest for conspiracy to kidnap Lydia Dove. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law.
I left to let Spinelli take care of things and headed back to the office. Even though it was getting late, I called Lydia to let her know what had happened. She seemed upset, but glad that she wasn't in any real danger. She dropped off the money the next day, along with 2 tickets to the premiere of her new Mafia movie. Bradford Steele had been replaced with a fresh face after he mysteriously broke his knee. Maybe with the right company, I could actually enjoy this one.
This has been The Adventures of Harry Flynn, presented by WRKC. This week's episode, The Cult Following, was written by Brandon Leon Gambetta. Our cast today was Brandon Leon Gambetta as Harry Flynn and Old Man, Brandy George as Lydia Dove, Deborah, and Thug Lady, Drake Nestard as Bradford Steele, commercial announcer, gangster, and director, Elizabeth Williams as Jane Olliger and Carolyn, Mark Zurich as Glenn, Jimmy the Foot, and Brick, and Lucas Tomasacci as announcer, butler, Chuck Hanford, mob boss, Weasel, and Officer Spinelli. If you'd like to write or perform in The Adventures of Harry Flynn, find us on Facebook.